You're very welcome, guys, to the Humble Coach podcast. My name is Porrick, and I'm joined today by Neil Laverty. So Neil is a really very experienced coach, and he currently owns CrossFit 8020. And I'm just going to say thanks very much to Neil for coming on today.
That's a pleasure. Happy to be here.
Cool. So first off, I suppose, Neil, like that, the last couple of podcasts have been kind of coaching oriented, and I'd like to try and keep it in that kind of mode. But at the same stage, it's very dependent on individuals' experiences and different coaches' kind of methodologies. But I suppose we'll just get a bit of a background on yourself and how you got into coaching, if you could. That'd be cool.
Mine's not the conventional story, probably. I started off, I was quite fortunate as a youngster. I got signed up to a model agency. I quickly got into fitness modeling, which kind of led me down the route of like education, understanding, you know, aesthetics and how to train for that. So how to put on a lot of muscle hypertrophy, how to diet down, how to get lean, reduce my body fat when it was needed. And that kind of got me into, you know, a lot of my like previous CrossFit coaching qualifications, you want to say, so like PT, you know, up to level 3 and then CSCS and stuff like that. So that's kind of what led me into the industry. Okay. The whole way through this, I like had that modeling career that lasted 12 years, and I went back to school and did a degree and stuff, but it was kind of always like coaching people and training them around sort of aesthetics and getting the goal of looking better. That started which for most people I think it does, you know, going in the gym, doing the same thing day in and day out, was very monotonous after a while. I think because of my job as well, it sort of it made it even worse, because I was just doing it every day.
Yeah, very much.
So I started looking for something for a change in terms of my own training, and that kind of led me down to the endurance route. So I started like triathlons, long distance cycling. I did a crazy event in America, cycling around across the States.
Oh, nice.
And that kind of me down a little bit. Then this is like 2006, I came off a pushback.
Yeah.
I fractured 2 vertebrae in my back, which that was when I went to see specialists and stuff. I was like, all right, now you're going to have to give up sport, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to have to look into something different. I kind of didn't accept that. I was like, there's just no way, you know, once I'm coming from this, I need to find something to do. So I just did like, you know, internet searches and kind of, you know, was looking in, and I actually did the whole, you know, the famous thing of like typed in what is fitness, or, you know, find some of Glassman's work online, read some of his articles, thought this looks pretty interesting. And just, you know, started back then, sort of 2006, started training CrossFit sort of myself. There wasn't, you know, really any affiliates around that stage, so for most of us back in the day, it was, you know, go online to the really old website that didn't really function that well at the start.
Exactly.
Get a few workouts done and post your scores online. So yeah, how you did.
Totally.
So that was kind of my like in CrossFit and in the training. Then after about 3 or 4 years of that, I was in England working in a corporate job. I still wanted to keep my coaching going, so I was still like coaching people at a distance, and some people in the gym I trained up in the evening. So did my coaching badges for CrossFit and started like just gaining experience and some boxes in England, and then sort of 2012 decided to make the jump and kind of work for myself. So at that stage, I think there was maybe only, I think there's 2 CrossFit gyms in Northern Ireland at that stage. I think there was CrossFit Northern Ireland and Andy Owens and Graham up in Derry.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know, this is definitely a growth sport, it's a growth market, so there's definitely a gap in the market there. So just looked at the map and Portadown, which is where I'm from originally, sort of sat, you know, in an area where Belfast and Derry were quite far away from, so it kind of made sense that that would be somewhere I could probably locate. So
yeah, good stuff.
Up the box then, and that's kind of led me into where I am now.
Nice, nice, good stuff. So, like that, guys, if you're not sure of who Neil is or 8020 is, they've got a fairly strong gym, I would say, and you have some very experienced athletes, and would have a fairly successful competitive team and individual athletes. But I suppose on the the kind of other side of that, just for yourself, do you have a particular favorite part of coaching, or kind of method of coaching, or is it just the PRs that kind of get you going, or is it the day-to-day monotony stuff that you kind of like the most?
Do you know what? I like the variation of it. I find myself like getting bored quite easily with stuff, and
yeah,
variation and CrossFit and in the CrossFit coaching is probably what keeps me interested, you know.
Yeah.
As you say, like, I've got a big competitive side, the 80-20, but that's probably only about 15% of our members.
Yeah.
So I still coach 12-13 classes a week.
Yeah.
Still like to jump into GPP and coach that, and I do get a kick out of that. You know, I think there's more of a kick out of getting someone to, you know, to actually finally get a power clean properly, and they understand the movement and mechanics of it. You can see it in their face that they've got it. There's more of a kick in terms of coaching to that than there is, you know, watching somebody like PD Savage do muscle ups and working out how I can get them to do one extra in each round. That's really a very small thing you're picking up on, and
yeah,
it's a lot of work and a lot of watching, and you know, it's not really a huge improvement. You're talking about percentage improvement, so GPP probably has a bigger kick in terms of the results you can get for people. So yeah, it's like, I enjoy sort of all the aspects of it. I don't think I want to go down one line or the other more, you know, more than I am at the minute. It's kind of nice to have a broad balance.
It's a good balance, good stuff. And I suppose like that, and I think I'm going to always ask this one, but I like this question. Do you have any particular favorite coaches at the moment, or have you any really good mentors in the past that you would have got a lot from, not necessarily even in the kind of CrossFit world, but just in general, coaching wise.
I read a lot, so there's like a lot of coaches out there that I follow in terms of what stuff they put out. There's no real coaches that stand out. Obviously, like, I mean, people know my attachment to TTT and Max, you know, is my actual coach for myself and stuff, and I learn a lot from him. And still learn on a daily basis in terms of how to coach athletes, you know, how I need to act as an athlete and as a coach and stuff. So
Completely. He's
probably my biggest mentor and influence in terms of what I've done. But the big thing I've learned over time is that you can't get a dogma in terms of coaching. You can't go down one way and say, oh, OPEX have got it all right, or TTT have got it all right, or, you know, Invictus are getting it all right. There's just, nobody's getting it right. The sport's too young for anybody to come out and say, our way is the best. It's just, you know, it is too young. I think, you know, for another 20 or 30 years, no one's going to be able to say that, you know, definitively that their method works better than the other. So my thing is that I just try to do as much reading and look at as many things as possible, and don't dismiss something until I fully 100% believe it does work, then I'll dismiss it. But until that point, I'll keep looking at it, keep investigating, and keep playing with it to see where those ideas go.
Good stuff. So like that, I suppose that would be a good one, I think, on that kind of front. Like, having spoken to Darrow Boyle before and the lads talking about Max, and I think even Max, Max El-Haj would even admit himself, and I've seen a lot of the recent kind of videos and stuff and his articles, and he would say the same to an extent, that it's much more a case of it's too young of a sport and it's too early in the development of it to really understand exactly what needs to be worked on throughout at certain points. Like, it's fairly easy at the kind of lower level potentially, but at the higher level, it's definitely still just very much growing as an actual sport, and it's an interesting one to kind of balance and see where it's actually going next, because it is like that, so unpredictable.
Like, as you say, unpredictable is the main word. You know, I think, you know, unless I'm wrong, and somebody can tell, you know, if they listen to the podcast, can email in and say that I'm wrong, I think this is the only sport in the world where you don't know the game.
Yeah.
You know, so we know elements, but we on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis have no idea what the game is. So
yeah. It's
really hard to say that your system or, you know, your style of coaching or your program design is going to work better than somebody else's, because you don't actually know what the game is. You know, if you train somebody for a 100-meter sprint, you know what the game is. You know if they're going to be running at altitude, how long the track is, how the heat's going to affect them.
Exactly
what you need to do in terms of periodization. With CrossFit, it's like, whoa, what are we training for this year? I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. And it definitely will change from year to year. Like, I think that even with the likes of a change in the programmer or whoever it is of the whole sport, it's just a very interesting one, I think. And even still, even on a kind of smaller level, I think a more local level, I think there's huge progress being made with regular people and their health and fitness, but also like that, it makes it very interesting for us, I think, as coaches, to try and improve the quality of that kind of stuff. You look at the likes of the FMS or some of Mike Boyle's stuff, whatever it is, and it could be quite straightforward type stuff, but I think with CrossFit, it's definitely to adjust a lot of that stuff around and really find the really good practices for most people as well, and try and bring their level up.
Absolutely. I would say, like, you know, we're in our sixth year now, or like just approaching it, and I would say the design that we do for GPP is like completely different to what we used to do in terms of like broad focus of what we do, and we still test benchmarks, we still try to make improvements that people need, but how we structure classes, how we structure, you know, weeks, months of training is completely different. And that, as you say, that's based on, you know, learning from those people and everything developing, and even the stuff at the elite end still filters down into GPP, which is great because, you know, you're still bringing in the stuff that you're going away and learning, you know. I did the FRC stuff with Andreas Bankspina, and that stuff's like next level mobility stuff. It's really hard to integrate and program into normal classes. But at the same time, it gives you ideas in terms of what you need to do, how you need to bring forward your sort of knowledge base and your practical base in classes to allow people to develop and some of the things that really wake up.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really interesting type of, I think a lot of those little offshoots are getting very, very interesting these days. I distinctly remember looking at a guy who would have been associated with him, and I think he may still be associated with quite a lot, is Dewey Nielsen. And I think that kind of stuff that would be a little bit out there, but it would definitely be really, really interesting type of stuff that you could easily enough try and, I suppose, use elements of at least with certain people and for,
You know, it is quite far out there, but when you actually take the course, and I'm a big cynic in terms of what people put out there, but when you take the course, some of the stuff that they put up and some of the stuff that they explain is very, very, very hard to argue with. I know I had a chat with Max about this when he took the course a few months after me, and we had a good conversation about it, and he was like, you know, they do raise some really good points in terms of there's stuff that they're saying that you can't really argue with. But at the same time, you know, the FRC stuff, there's no real prescription model for it yet because it can be quite tough on the body. So, you know, where do you fit it in your CrossFit program or your strength program, because it can affect what you're going to do the next day. So it is, seeing these things and then trying to learn how to integrate them in yourself, not just taking their prescription and saying, this works for everybody. It's like, okay, this works, but how do I make it work for everybody that's specifically working for me?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think for me, that's kind of part of the enjoyment of finding a lot of these interesting new things or kind of new looks at new ways of looking at them. It definitely does keep the wheel spinning quite a lot. I think like that, because we would have in our own gym, we would have some people who would definitely be pushing on a little bit. They may not necessarily be regionals levels or anything like that, but they like to be a little bit more competitive. They want to find a little bit more. And you can tell that, like, there's just certain mobility issues and certain, I suppose, time-efficient ways that we want to try and work a little bit better to maintain good positions and get a little bit stronger. Yeah. And it's just a case of trying not to hurry the process and try and get them as safe as possible throughout the whole thing.
And it's a big part of it. It's just managing the athlete. You know, athletes notoriously, you know, yourself, myself, any other coach who's an athlete, you know, understands that that you get impatient and you want results fast as you can. So as a coach, it's a case of trying to manage the athlete. Sometimes you can manage others better than them, and some are more patient, but you know, that's a real big learning curve for me, that, you know, athletes just want success and they're always going to push hard to get it. And your job is to manage them as best you can, and sometimes you can't manage them, and sometimes they'll push themselves in an injury, and other times they will listen and they'll stay safe. But it's just more of a management thing than it is you know, you have to do it this way and you have to do it that way. It's like, do you want to do it yourself? And I manage that as best I can.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think like that kind of brings me on to the next kind of point, to an extent, that because of your, like you were saying about the competition kind of team and your regional level athletes, how do you find, like, obviously it's not a massively big part, but it has a big profile or high profile kind of element, I suppose, to your gym. But do you find it difficult to get a balance between your regular kind of Joe Soap coming in to the GPP classes and to try and still attract those people? Or do the competition kind of orientation, does that encourage people to come in, or does it scare them off a little bit? Or do you find it even just challenging to switch between those kind of coaching roles? Or do you find it fairly okay, as you kind of enjoy it?
I enjoy switching between the roles, but I mean, I think people get a little bit obsessed with the fact that, you know, these high end athletes, you know, come and train in the gym and stuff, and the industry, and because we're in the industry and we're in cross with the sport itself, we like to look at these people and, you know, they're celebrities and they've got sponsorship deals and this and that and the other. But people need to remember this is like a really niche sport. Like, this is like niche to the point of 90% of people, when you walk out down the street and you say, have you heard of CrossFit sport? They have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
More than understand as a fitness regime.
Yeah.
And in that terms, you know, I've always said to me and my coaches, and we talk about business, and we try and, you know, bring the gym forward in terms of what we want to do for GPP. 99.9% of people that walk through our door have no idea who any of our competitive athletes are. Not one clue. So in terms of the business, it's, to me, it's not that hard to, you know, to marry them up, because realistically, the real business that I run is CrossFit to keep people fit and healthy and allow them to move better and have a better lifestyle. And really, those people don't care that much about CrossFit sport. You know, it's a thing on the side that sits over there, and those people are crazy. I don't care about them.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard to keep separate, you know, as long as people remember that it's a niche sport, and really these high-end athletes don't play a huge part in your business.
Cool. So I suppose like that's a good round off to that kind of segment, because I think like that, like you said, the 15% is significant, but it's not in the grand scheme of things, because like that, there's still so much more exposure of CrossFit to potentially be put out there. And you look at any kind of social media, you look at any of the general trends in fitness, and like that, CrossFit might pop up on the odds, the odd article here and there, but it still is not as definitive as spinning or as be it pole dancing, whatever it is. It's just, it doesn't have as big of an exposure yet, and I don't know if it really ever will, if I'm being honest. I think it's a little bit strange that kind of way.
I don't know where this sport's going to go. I mean, obviously, whenever the Reebok deal runs out, I would imagine if Nike get involved in it, the sport will go global. Simply, you know, when Nike got involved in the sport of running and jogging, it became global because they wanted to sell more trainers, and a company with, you know, 100 times more of a marketing budget than the current company, that could change the game in terms of how many people know about it.
Very much.
But again, that could also change the game in terms of what is actually CrossFit, you know, for the general public. You know, is it what it is now, or what will it be in 10 years? So,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going or how it's going to develop. It'll be enough with how it's going at the minute.
Cool. Good stuff. So I suppose like that, just I suppose a couple of final little questions for you. I know you have to head off, but I suppose for that, with having Max as one of your mentors, having a real big interest in reading a lot into sports science, or at least exercise science, and coaching methodology, do you think that do you use an awful lot of science in your own type of method of coaching with the competitive athletes, or do you just think that it's a very straightforward type of a way, especially it's because it's such a young sport, or at least that your athletes are still developing quite a lot?
I use a little bit of science. You know, there's no real, you're not putting them in laboratories and testing them the way some sports do, and you're not having them, you know, giving you blood samples for lactate, you know, all the time. For your competitive athletes, there is more of a scientific basis and periodization in terms of, you know, if someone's really, really, really poor in certain movement gymnastically, is it necessarily to do with their strength issue and their density, or is it to do with capillarization, the fact that they just don't have enough mitochondria in their specific muscles, so therefore you have to develop that in the off season with longer, slower distance work, and that sort of stuff, and, you know, the science end behind that, and the science end behind, you know, programming strength and speed, and there is more of that that goes into competitive coaching, definitely, but at the same time, a lot of the principles that we still use were used, you know, like 50, 60 years ago for other sports. So they're quite basic, and this, you know, they haven't developed a huge amount over time. The hard thing with competitive athletes is marrying the different things together. So, you know, developing someone's aerobic capacity at the same time as getting them stronger, at the same time as getting them faster, at the same time as getting them more powerful, that can be a little bit hard. But I think that's more of an art than a science.
Yeah.
In terms of GPP programming, you need to have a base in terms of where you want to go with it over the course of the year, over the course of, you know, 6 months, 3 months, your little blocks.
Yeah.
But I think the way people train nowadays, you know, lifestyle is a big factor, and people don't train regularly. You know, people like to think that they train every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they're really regular. And if that was the case, it would be easy to program for people.
Exactly.
But that's not the case. People train, you know, oh, I'm going away this weekend, so I'm going to train, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I can't train Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and next week I'll make it up by doing 7 workouts in a row, and it's kind of like a little bit crazy like that. So,
it changes the whole dynamic exactly like,
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes to start programming, and we do use percentages, but normally we use percentages in a way that allows everybody just to understand what kind of load we're after.
Yeah.
It's really hard with GPP to say you're going to follow a percentage-based, you know, strength cycle the whole way through, because, you know, over and above, people just do not have the commitment to
it's just not realistic.
Follow something like that for a block of training.
Yeah, I agree.
So it depends on the level you're at in terms of how much science is needed, but a little bit in both ways, and just a little bit more possibly in the competitive area. But again, I think that's more of an art than it is real science.
Yeah, very much. And I suppose I'm going to leave you on the last one that I like to kind of chuck to people. Have you got a next step in your own coaching development, or have you any courses coming up or anything like that? For yourself,
I'm trying to think of any courses. No courses. I want to do the PN. Well, yeah, I want to do the PN level 2 in terms of nutrition. I think that's an area I'm sort of not as strong as I could be on.
Yeah.
And then I just do a lot more reading. I started a few various different books, more in the sort of calisthenics gymnastics area, in terms of, I think that's a real weakness in CrossFit. We know a lot about all Olympic lifting and strength cycles, and we don't know as much, and we aren't as elite as we could be in terms of gymnastic progressions. Like, you know, things like your levers, your planches, stuff like that, we need to learn how to develop those skills as well, because they're only going to benefit the gymnastic movements in CrossFit. So I'm reading a few books on that. I'm reading Anatomy Trains at the minute, which is takes a fair bit to get through.
But just
more and more reading, more and more like looking at the stuff. And then I think a big part the coaches don't do, which I try to do and some of my coaches try to do as well, is read something, try to understand it, and then play with it. Go into the gym yourself and play with it.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to prescribe it to your athletes or your GPP or anybody you're working with, it's a really good idea to understand how this feels or how it affects the body or what it's going to do to you.
Very much.
Not just throw it out there, you know, off your bat and just hope that it works for people. So that's one thing that we do try to do, is like, you know, do some reading, do some research, understand what's going on, and then play with ourselves before we prescribe it.
Good stuff. Well, that's super. I agree with that, with all of those. They're really good points. Neil, I'm really really pleased that you came on, and
it's my pleasure.
Thanks so much for that, and hopefully it all goes well. I know you had you were a little bit unlucky with the individual athlete this year, Emma, but the regionals team guy, they did it really, really well throughout. So hopefully the off season goes well, and they can kick back on next year, and the gym keeps going well. For now, though.
Yeah, we'll see what the future holds. It's unknown for all of us, so we'll have a look and see what comes up in the next 6-9 months and see where we're at.
Great stuff. Thanks a million, Neil. We'll see you soon. Thanks, mate.
Absolute pleasure. Talk soon.
Cheers. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.